thought, what would be better than to use my 34 years in the veterinary industry than to help you guys, the pet owner? What are your questions? What do you need to know? What would you like to know? I want to create a completely interactive podcast where you, the listener, can ask your questions and we will answer them. I will have industry-leading professionals come in and have conversations about your very questions. What keeps you up at night? What worries you about your pet? What worries you about the cost of taking care of your animal? There's so many things that we can talk about, but I need you to tell me what we need to come up with. Because if you do that, we can have a great, great, great.
We love discussing animal health and pet care, but this podcast represents the opinions of these doctors only. We are not diagnosing, treating, or providing medical advice for individual pets. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Irreplaceable Tales. Today with us, as always, is Dr. G, and we are so lucky to have Dr. Pettigrew. He's a board-certified neurologist, and we can't wait to answer your questions.
So in the land of rainbows and unicorns, you would want zero seizures ever again once starting medication. I would tell my clients all the time, you want less often, they don't last as long, they're not as violent, and recovery's quicker.
Exactly.
But what would be, is one a month regulated to you?
No, I would. So what we're seeing now is that the concern, and I think there was a consensus statement out there that right now we're probably looking at one every 15 weeks, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's gone out. The thought is that there's a condition called kindling, where as you have more and more seizures, the potential for more seizures and the frequency goes up because you're basically priming the pathway for a seizure. Oh. So if you think of a wheat field, you know, you run down a wheat field once and it's going to lay a little bit of a path you can kind of see. But if you go down it hundreds and hundreds of times,
right,
it's a, you know, and so that's just the same type of thing with the neurons. If you think about it.
Yeah. And all a seizure basically is, as I always used to tell clients, it's like the 4th of July fireworks grand finale going off in their brain.
Yep.
Instead of it being a controlled firing, these neurons are all just firing on their own.
Well, actually, that's kind of interesting. It's actually most brain activity is somewhat chaotic, and that's actually normal. It's when you get hypersynchrony of that firing, which is what causes the seizure. So it's more of a hypersynchronous event as opposed to chaos.
Another word I got to look up.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. I love this for
hypersynchronous.
You. Whole ball game that you have no idea
Poof.
About.
Well, I know it, but I not
as well
it.
As he does. No. I mean, we sent you our hospital dog to do, not seizures, but we had Wally, our hospital dog, who you ended up doing the surgery on for us.
Oh,
right?
Wally, yeah, had lower
Did
back surgery.
Yeah. Was it me or was it
No, it was
Wayne.
You.
No,
was it was
you.
I'm sorry.
Jeez, come on, Wally, our big fat hospital dog, come on. What's another one? Do you have another question or do you want me to go back to the other question?
No, let's see what they have.
Are there things we can do at home to help prevent neurological problems in our pets as they age?
Not really. I think a good quality pet food. I don't think there's any supplements that you can really do. They keep them active, certainly. I think activity, just like in people, is helpful in any, you know, dementia case or as people age, keeping the blood flow to the brain. Yeah.
So here's my question that I get a lot. Do vaccines cause seizures? And what is considered over vaccinating? Because you hear about,
it's a loaded question.
It is a very loaded question.
Like in Akitas, you hear about, and they talk about rabies vaccinosis.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so I don't do a lot of vaccines. I don't see a lot of vaccine exposure cases where I suspect the vaccine is what caused whatever the neurological issue is. But certainly when we suspect, let's say, an immune-mediated inflammatory disease, meaning that the immune system is attacking something within the central nervous system, spinal cord, brain, whatever. We always ask about recent vaccination history, because usually within about that 4 weeks, it's a potential that could be the cause.
Right. So the dog that was vaccinated 3 years ago that's now coming is probably not
going to do that. Yeah.
Not vaccinated.
So.
Well, my thing is because I always made sure clients spread out their vaccines.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I would not give distemper and rabies on the same day.
Yeah.
I would not, you know, I wouldn't give like I what's the scariest thing I see, you know, is when a client would come in and you looked at their history and they got distemper, rabies, lepto, rattlesnake, bordetella, and influenza all in the same visit. Yeah, so throw in some lime. Why not?
Why not?
No, but I mean, it's crazy because they, like in Mexico, they make a vaccine that is DHLPPR.
Mm.
Everything in one vial.
I don't know that I love that.
No. Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I mean, good for them for vaccinating, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm all for vaccinating. You got to definitely vaccinate your animals. Certainly when we have animals that we're treating with immune-mediated diseases, we will recommend that they don't get vaccinated other than potentially rabies. And we can often defer some of the rabies vaccines.
Right.
So, but any of the, you know, that's just, it's what, you know, for even for certain, you know, it's not just neurology, it's any type of immune-mediated, like immune-mediated, you know, thrombocytopenia or hemolytic anemia, things like that, they're gonna, not going to recommend.
Well, vaccines. One of the worst diseases I've ever had to deal with is puppies with distemper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So just because they're diagnosed with distemper is not a death sentence.
No.
But once they have seizures, is that the telltale sign?
So, yes, and if they started to have seizures and, you know, they're having their, the distemper, clonic, tonic movements and things like that, that usually it's going to progress. It's a horrible disease. And so by that time, usually it's not a good prognosis.
By the time it progresses. Yeah.
You take the risk of vaccinating for distemper over dealing with a dog with distemper because once they're diagnosed, it's like let the Lord take the wheel at that point, right?
Yeah.
What are common signs of a neurologic that owners might be missing?
Cannabis toxicity.
I think cats are tough because they don't show signs until late in disease. Well, both dogs and cats are the same, but cats are worse because they don't move around much. So you may not pick up on things right away. And any type of difficulty with walking, if you start seeing dragging, don't think necessarily it's an orthopedic issue.
Right.
Cats, it's rare that they get a lot of orthopedic disease. So a lot of times in cats, it's going to be a neurological issue. In dogs, I think, limping oftentimes is mistaken as orthopedic. It can also be neurological. So we're constantly, the surgeons who see our orthopedic cases, of course, are
knocking on your door. Hey,
Well, we don't have doors. We just basically out on the
people just start yelling at
you. Dr. Pettigrew, I got another one for you.
But it's also it goes the other direction as well. Yeah. We're constantly seeing things where, you know, we suspect it to be orthopedic, and it's either a cruciate or sometimes we'll see a lot of inflammatory joint diseases like immune-mediated polyarthropathy, which
we're going to have you back to go over intervertebral disc disease because we get a lot of questions on that too.
Yes. So what about like pupils being different sizes, head tilts?
Yes, all those things are important. Yeah, anything like that. So pupils can be a little bit, you know, hard to read. Sometimes right. we see that, and it just, it's also idiopathic. You know, they can have, they can have, like, you know, idiopathic, you know, Horner's disease and things like that.
Right.
So a lot of,
just from a simple ear cleaning.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
the cat.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but exactly that. Circling, behavior changes, vision loss, things yeah. like that. So vision loss is tough. Sometimes it can be, you know,
in a cat, high blood pressure.
Yeah, or it can be an ophthalmological issue. So,
right.
What we'll often do is, if there's a blind acute blindness, we'll have them see an ophthalmologist first. They will evaluate the globe and make sure the retina is normal, and then they'll usually do some electrical testing to make sure the retina is intact. Then by that they say, okay, this is something that's in the brain.
Yeah,
and then they'll send it to us. Yeah.
For your pets that are on seizure meds, how often are you requiring blood work or recommending blood work?
Once a year. And if they're older, then we'll probably want to go, you know, every 6 months.
And they don't need to see you to get the lab work.
No,
right?
They don't need to see me, right. But they need to get at least once a year. And then, but they do need to see me once a year for to maintain, like, if I'm providing the medications, see the patient once yeah. a year.
And it can't be virtual either.
No.
Are they, I don't think virtual exams have gotten taken the off. Green light in vet med.
How much does Dr. Google help or hurt you in your Ooh. Specific track?
It typically hurts, but because I think clients then try to diagnose their patients and
right.
and again, it's then they come in too late or they come in and it's a totally different problem that they've been treating incorrectly for. Sometimes if they... You know, if I'm dealing with a case and they want more information, I can at least lead them to what would be a good site to
right.
to get information from that I know is has good information. So yeah.
What is a good site? Just so they would know right
Ooh,
now.
Oh, good. Well, probably any of the you know university sites. So I'm sure UC Davis has something, and I don't have one in particular about just neuro.
Not Oklahoma State, not Georgia. I mean, you already talked them up.
You went to what, like 85 schools? Not one of them. You yeah, recommend yeah, one yeah. of the schools you went to?
Well, you have more education than most men had in their whole life, and you did it in 7 years.
Well, yeah. So they're definitely. You know, websites out there that are, you know, that have good information, but I again, not.
But there's more that are very misleading.
Yes, exactly. And that would be, yeah. So, you know, ask your veterinarian, ask, you know,
yeah.
your specialists. So.
So to our listeners, can you describe what it means to be board certified versus not being board certified? Like what that means when you're looking up a veterinarian who
sure.
says I am board certified in X,
yeah.
Y, or Z.
Neurology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, So I went through, I went through an internship, which often a residency does require. So
post-vet school.
Post-vet school. So
now
post-vet school, you have a year of a general rotating internship.
Which makes year 9.
Yeah.
Of this,
so
right?
A long time,
wow.
Yeah. And then you go to, depends on the residency, but most of them are 3 years. And then you take... In my particular case, well, I think most residents in internal medicine, they take two tests, which is one is a general internal medicine test, and then the other one is the specialty just for neurology.
Wow.
So, and so you have to pass those boards, and then also the 3 year of that clinical training, which is pretty, and that's all you do is neurology. So it's long.
Unreal.
It's long, yeah. So. 10
so
years.
Trust your board certified.
Yes, and then if you have any questions whatsoever, there is a website acvim.org where you can go
correct
online, and you can search for a board certified
neurologist near you
or anybody
yep.
really, anybody in the internal medicine department. So
not surgery, okay. but internal
not
medicine.
Surgery, but internal medicine. Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I always just like to ask you guys, what is the most interesting animal you've worked on?
Okay. Is this post vet school?
Any of it.
Any of it.
Any of it, yeah.
Well, I worked on a hippo.
Oh, cool. Okay,
State.
You win. That wins for sure.
We were trying to do a dental. I think we were taking off some of the tusks. So we're
oh, wow.
So we had to try to figure out how to anesthetize. And it was a pygmy hippo. So,
oh, cute.
Yeah.
Little guy.
Yeah.
Was it at a zoo?
No, is that so in Oklahoma at the time, you could have any animal. You didn't have to. It's not. You didn't have to have a zoo, and so a lot of farms had.
There's a lot of open land in Oklahoma.
That's wild. Yeah.
A lot of people had camels. A lot of people had llamas. So we saw a lot of llamas and camels. And but yeah, this was I think
was it a nice hippo?
No, not really.
Didn't want to cuddle. Didn't want to cuddle on the couch.
Didn't want to be your friend.
That was probably my most interesting case.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, Gasol had what, an eagle?
Yeah.
And then, what did Greco have, a lion?
Yes.
Greco had a lion.
We had a mountain lion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had porcupine that we did an MRI.
Cute.
And Dr. Barry did a tap, so they had to pluck the
quills.
Oof. Oh.
Yeah. I think he had toxo, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then... what else? That's probably about it. Yeah.
The hippo takes it, though, for sure.
Well, I mean,
you're in first place right now.
Well, for sure, though, we're going to have you back because we haven't even hit equine protozoal myelitis and horses.
Okay. So, yes, I did have to learn large animal. I haven't done that in 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. So I will have to get a large animal neurologist or internal medicine specialist to talk
there's
about.
There's very few just that do neurology in large animal. A lot of the internal medicine, the equine internal medicine specialists do all the neuro exams.
Do all
and they're
of
just
it.
As they're, they
So for all you horse listeners, I will take care of you as well. But I think that should be good.
Pretty much covers it for seizures, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean the take home message is that seizures happen. Even the most trained don't know why. And there are medications in which you're not going to cure. You're just going to basically treat the severities. And that's something going forward for sure. So basically keep coming up with your questions. We're going to get specialists in here. I told you I would. Whatever questions you have, I will find a specialist to answer. And we thank you for listening. And Mallory, thanks again for hosting. You're coming back for this disease. And we got to talk about this disease because not every limping dog has hip dysplasia.
And everybody has a French French bulldog now.
With hemivertebrae. Yes. Hemivertebrae.
Yes.
So I have two, so that. I may be seeing
you
soon. My husband's reaction exactly.
Oh man, more than enough dog than anyone needs.
It is. But thank you as always for joining us.